fell into my briefcase. Wow, I got to live up to all that. Actually, I don't. Hallelujah. Well, it's such a delight for us to be here. We just met your pastors today. What a joyful, delightful people. I'm telling you what, you guys are so blessed. Just so easy to talk to, fellowship with. They love to laugh, and we just had a good time at lunch today. And my wife is with me so quickly. She's really the engine of the ministry, but wave your hand, just at least wave. She isn't like... And I'm introducing her because we minister together, and she has my permission to interrupt me anytime in the service. And, you know, I don't want you to think that she's some wild woman that's causing havoc everywhere I go. This is the servant of the Most High God who's going to show unto us the way of salvation. No, she's not that kind of woman. She's very submitted. She's a prayerful woman, a woman of the Spirit. So we traveled together, and I love her adding. I love the way the Lord uses her in the way that he does. So she has full freedom and permission to... Did they give you your own microphone? Okay, see? So she can just... I got mine too. But I want to just... We've written about 21 books, and we brought a few of them. We've been on the road for 3 weeks. This is like our last stop. We live in New Hampshire, where it's currently snowing and cold, so we're not in a hurry to get up back home. But we have some QR codes. I don't know if the technicians were able to get those because we've only brought... Oh, there it is. So one of them goes to our website. The other one goes to Amazon. And I want to plug a couple of books real quickly. The Real series. We have The Real Salvation. What is a Real Christian? Some of you that are young in the Lord, even if you're older, this will be a really great foundational book for you to know what a real Christian is. And then The Real Gospel. We have, how many of you know, if you have a real, there's a false. There's a false gospel, there's a false salvation, but there's a real one. And this is a very hard-hitting book that will take you back to the offense of the cross, the gospel of the cross, and what it actually is. And then here's another one. Well, there's another one called The Real Jesus. Paul talked about another Jesus. There is a counterfeit Jesus, and there is a real Jesus. We don't have it here, but you can find, I did a 4-book series. Here's the other one, The Real Spirit of Revival. Again, very hard-hitting book on what revival actually is. In the back of this book, there's a history of some of the past revivals and some of the characteristics of those revivals. So these 3 books, plus The Real Jesus, is on both of those on our website. And then we sell them as a series, like four of them for like $39, less than $10 a book. And then this one is dear to us. This is Turning Your Trials into Gold. We just wrote this here about a year ago. My wife and I have been through some very serious health challenges in the last 5 years, starting with 2020, COVID. She got hit with cancer. I got hit with a stroke. And we had both had complications. And this is the story of it and how God brought us out. Amen. Hallelujah. You can turn your trials into gold. Amen. And then I know this is a very young, fairly young congregation. I see a lot of young people here, but this is a book that I wrote again a couple years ago. I write about a book a year. That's what we average. But this is called Tongues, The Elevation of a Mystery. This is everything, almost everything you wanted to know about tongues. The different uses, purposes of tongues, and how it is so vital to your Christian life to pray in tongues more than everyone. Like Paul said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together, one translation says. So this is really has received probably the most raving reviews because there's so much confusion and controversy about simply speaking in tongues and using it as a prayer language. So that there's a few of these left at our table. And that's enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to, you don't know us, so really when we go to new churches, because we travel, my wife and I, the new ones, we like to kind of, first time we minister, we like to kind of do an introduction kind of service and then see where the Lord leads us. But, you know, when I was ordained to be a missionary, my wife and I were missionaries in West Africa for about 9-10 years. And on the night of my ordination, it was a Sunday night. The elders laid hands on me, ordained me. I went home, went to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. I tried to shut off the light, and every time I would shut off the light, lay my head down, these words would just come rising up out of my heart, out of my spirit, inside of me, and I would get up and write it down. This happened several times where I was trying to get to sleep, and the Lord was wanting to talk to me. Now, you'd think I'd be excited about that, but I was tired, and I really was wanting to go to sleep. But you know what? I just kept getting up, writing down. Finally, I had enough sense to just stay up until the Lord finishes talking to you. Well, that night, I had probably a page or two of a prophecy that he gave me. Then when I finally went to sleep, I had a dream. And the dream was of a flame of fire, because the Lord said, your anointing is like a flame of fire. And in that dream, I remember I was on my knees like this, in a kind of a prayer position, really a position of travailing, and these young men were lighting fires all around in this grassy field, one by one, until the whole field was on fire. And I felt the heat of those flames coming up on my back. And I got up real quickly and ran in the house. And that was the end of the dream. And the Lord began to minister to me about that flame of fire, how it would work, what it would come to do. I didn't tell anybody. You know, when you receive something from the Lord, you don't have to blab it to everybody. It might just be for you initially. And so I went as a missionary to West Africa with that in my heart, just excited about what the Lord said to me. Really, he gave me purpose. He gave me destiny for my life. He showed me what his calling and plan was. So I just took that and ran with it and began to minister in West Africa. Soon, our students, because we planted Bible schools, that was really our mission, our students began to call me the fireman. See, they didn't know my dream. They didn't know the prophecy and the words that the Lord gave me. But they were confirming the call of God on my life that the Lord said would be. So I went to, we were in three different countries in like a 10-year period. Every country we were in, they called me the fireman, never knowing about that dream and the prophecy or any of that. So the Lord will confirm the calling of God on your life without you having to say anything to anybody. Prove it out. Prove it out first before you even share it. Because God's word is true. It can be proven out. So we prove that. But I'm saying this to you because you're new to us. We're new to you because fire is intense. And sometimes it can get loud. And sometimes I can be preaching and people think I'm just mad at the whole world. One time the Lord called it. Instead of, my last name is Farius, and friends of mine began to say, Bert Furious, because that fire sometimes on the inside of me feels like a furious fire. You know, have you ever heard these forest fires that burn, especially out west in the hot summer months? That's the noise that I heard on the inside of me that night that I had that dream and I received that prophecy. It was like, I mean, it was like that, like a blazing fire. The noise of it was on the inside of me. It sounded audible, but it wasn't audible. I was the only one I heard it. I was the only one that heard it, but it was furious. It was out of control. And sometimes I can minister and preach, ask my wife, and I'm out of control. I mean, not really out of control, but I feel like I'm out of control. We first met, my wife and I, we were friends for 5 years before we tied the knot and got married. It took me a long, long time to be convinced. She was convinced pretty quickly. Oh. I messed up. I'm not supposed to say it. She knew before I did. She hears God better than I do, okay? Let me say it like that. Okay, and where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, the first time we met, we were part of a prison ministry, and we loaded up a van full of church members, and we went to this prison one night, and she had never heard me preach, and I was really quiet, pretty shy, and I got up to preach, and I was spitting fire. I'm telling you, I was standing on top of tables and chairs preaching to those prisoners, and she's like, who is this guy? Who is this? And that was the first time she realized she wanted to marry a preacher, right? Did I get that wrong too? Man, I've told this story so many times and I still get it wrong. Anyway, the point is, I come with a warning label. That's the whole point, okay? So if you see me out of control tonight or tomorrow, or, you know, I get too intense maybe for your liking, it's his fault, okay? I'm going to blame it on the Lord. He made me the way I am. But, you know, I was raised Catholic, so I had reason to be excited because I got set free from a lot of traditions. And how many former Catholics here, or maybe you're still a Catholic? It's okay. See, look at that. This is like a Pentecostal Catholic church right here, man. Hallelujah, I'm in good company. Anyway, I was raised a very devout Catholic. I'm Portuguese. My parents immigrated from Europe. So we're all of my family, from as long as my grandparents, uncle, everybody I knew among my relatives was strictly Catholic. If you minister and share the gospel with them, you back them into a corner, they're just like, I'm Catholic. I'm Catholic. I'm Catholic. They surrender to their identity. They're Catholic. And so when the Lord brought me out, it was the first one in my immediate family and as far back as my grandparents and great-grandparents that really came out and got saved, radically saved, radically changed. And so I left my Catholic church eventually because they weren't teaching me the Bible. In fact, they were teaching things that were contradictory to the Bible, saying that I had to pray to Mary, and I had to worship Mary, and I had to confess my sins to the priest, and all of these things. When I found out they're not in the Bible, I realized I can't stay here. I can't stay in this church. I got born again. Yeah. Hallelujah. I became a new creation. Well, once I started growing a little bit, I went back to that church because I wanted to feel what it was like not to be dead anymore. So I went and sat in that mass, and I was like, oh my God, this is like a morgue, and this is so dead. And I became even more grateful for what God brought me out of. You know, how many know you need to be thankful for what you came out of, whether it was religion or drugs or alcohol or whatever. Thank God we were all sinners, and now we're saved. Hallelujah. Always rejoice in your salvation. God, if everything is breaking up all around you and you're going through hell, thank God that you're not going to hell. If you can't rejoice about anything, rejoice about that. When you're going through it and you feel so bad, just get on your knees and say, thank God I'm not going to hell. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm born again. Thank God my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And then you'll get happy and you'll want to shout. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I went back to that church, but I had a plan. See, I got real sneaky, and I went to go look for the Holy Father, who was really the Holy Father, but you know what? The priest. I wanted to ask him a question, but I was kind of tricking him. I opened my Bible to John chapter 3, and I said, Father, can you tell me what this means? It says, Jesus said here to Nicodemus that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born again. What does that mean? But I already knew. I've been born again for a few months. Well, he puts his glasses down like this. He looks at me and says, now, son, that simply means that when you get to heaven, you'll be born again. We're all going to become new in heaven. See, he was looking at the, well, I knew this guy. This poor man has not even entered the door yet. So I left that church and never went back. He didn't even know what it meant to be born again. He said, we'll be born again in heaven. We won't need to be born again in heaven. We'll be new creations. We'll have eternal life. It's a whole new dispensation. We're in another realm. We're in the realm of the Spirit. And you can't enter into that realm until you're born again. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. Well, my relatives didn't understand all that, you know. Back then, born again was like a syndrome, like a phase. You were going, oh, you're one of them born again people. I sure am. I'm proud of it. You know, and I had a good mentor. See, it's important. All of you that are believers, how many believers in here? You're all saints. According to the scriptures, you're all saints. No longer sinners, but saints. And you all are to reach sinners. Saints reach sinners. Sinners cannot reach sinners. Sinners cannot clean sinners. Two sinners sitting in the bar cannot witness to each other about how they're eventually going to change and give up their drinking and their drugs. It's saints that affect sinners. Jesus dined with sinners. Amen. Not to become like them, but to make them like him. Not for them to influence him, but for him to influence them. We need to dine with sinners so we can bring change and influence into their lives. Well, the man that led me to Christ, he became a friend to me when I was in college. Sometimes it begins with being a friend to somebody that's lost. You know he's lost. You know he doesn't know Christ. And this is what this young man, he was a few years older than me, worked at the college in the mail room, where back then, you know, snail mail, you had to go to the clerk's office to get your mail. See if, you know, your mama forgot about you, sent you a package in the mail. I mean, it was always with anticipation that I'd go there to see if anybody sent me. Did anybody know I'm still alive here? I'm a college student. I need cookies. I need chocolate chip cookies. I need something from home to know that you still love me. But, you know, that guy worked there. So every time I went to pick up my mail, he was there. And I started noticing something. Because he befriended me, and I started asking him questions when I found out that this guy's one of those Jesus freaks. You know, he's really different. And I didn't say that in a derogatory way. I was just like really intrigued by him. For one thing, he was always had this countenance that was bright. You know, the Bible says they looked unto the Lord and became radiant. Well, I saw this brother as a radiant person with a radiant countenance. Just his physical appearance drew me. Kind, peaceful, gentle, and had a shiny face. And one day I walked into that mailroom office and I noticed on his desk, because he had a desk on one side and stuff on the other side, on his desk was a Bible about this big, maybe even a little bigger, and it was open on his desk. And I started looking at his shiny face. Then I would look across the room and I would see an open Bible. And I started thinking, he reads the Bible. I think he reads it a lot because his face is so shiny from reading the Bible. I mean, this is how I put it together in my mind, like shiny face, open Bible. Open Bible means shiny face. And that actually made the Bible attractive to me. Like, man, I got to find out what's in that book. My Catholic family, I don't think they ever read the Bible. None of their faces were shiny. I mean, seriously, I saw Bibles in some of their homes, but they were always shut. Shut Bible means dark face. I mean, I put that together in my mind. I said, man, I started getting drawn to that brother and started asking him questions like, what do you think about the Virgin Mary? Do you pray to her? Well, Bert, no, I actually don't. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Shouldn't worship Mary, worship Jesus. Then I said, what about confessing sins to the priest? Well, Jesus is the mediator between God and man. You don't have to confess your sins to the priest. The Bible says confess your sins to God through Jesus Christ. And it's the blood that cleanses you from all sins, not saying three Hail Marys, four Our Fathers, and all of this stuff. So I was like, man, this guy knows the Bible. Every time I asked him a question, the Bible says, Bert. This is what the Bible says. I got mad one time because I was a little cantankerous, little Portuguese boy, you know. And I get mad at him because he'd say, the Bible says, the Bible answer man. Always saying the Bible says. And I said, you know what? Forget the Bible. Don't you have your own mind and opinion to think with? And you know what he answered to that? Bert, the Bible says the carnal mind is hostility against God. And I would be like, oh, this guy is such a stickler for the Bible. But you know, I'd go home and think about, this man really believes the Bible. This man really obeys the Bible. In all my Catholic years, about this time I was 22, early 20s, I never met a Catholic that believed and obeyed the Bible. They were deceived. And so I stayed with him because I was so intrigued. Eventually, he led me to the Lord. This guy's not a minister per se, like a pastor, evangelist, or even an elder. He was just a young 26-year-old man that was a worker. He was just he had a job. He was faithful to his wife, and he was nobody special. But you know what? He was always winning people at my college to the Lord. Always befriending them, always inviting them to Bible study. He finally got me saved, baptized me in water. He didn't ask for the pastor or the elders of the church to come and baptize me. He went to the college swimming pool that I attended and baptized me personally, took me through a confession, taught me about water baptism, how important it was, and then dunked me, and I came out just shouting, I knew things are different now. The old man has been buried. The new man has arisen. Hallelujah. It became Easter time every time in my life. Because I became a new person. Everything changed. The way I looked at people changed. The way I looked at the world changed. I began to read the Bible. I began to educate myself, train my mind, renew my mind. All the time he's watching me, overseeing me, mentoring me. Finally, we came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He realized you got to get filled with the Holy Ghost, Bert. I was like, what's that? The baptism is for power, for you to be a witness to others. When you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit in a measure. But when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you receive him in his fullness. Amen. Jesus said you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus never told us to do ministry. We are not supposed to initiate ministry until we have received this power to be a witness of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. So he took me through the word, showed me what happened. When they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, most of the time they spoke in tongues. They prophesied. There was evidence that something happened to them outwardly, you know, and they began to talk to me about these tongues. And see, I had a roommate in college that we got saved at the same time. But see, this is where your associations are so important. That's why I'm glad you're a part of this church and this body, because I know you're taught well here, but when Donnie, my roommate, got saved, he went to a Baptist church. When I got saved, my friend Rick took me to his little Pentecostal church. So we started walking in a way. We love Jesus. Both of us love Jesus. You can be born again, not baptized with the Holy Spirit, and still love Jesus. He loved Jesus, but he didn't understand that tongues business. And he didn't receive it because the Baptists were teaching him, well, that's just a bunch of emotionalism. That's just a gift. Not everybody needs it. Not everybody has it. That's just a bunch of gibberish. You know, you're not really saying anything unless it's interpreted. You know, you don't need that. Some even went as far as to say, that's of the devil. It's funny how the devil could give you power to win people to Christ. That just really, I mean, that makes so much sense to me. That the devil would empower you to win people to Christ and demonstrate his power. This baptism is first for power. Then when you receive that prayer language, that funny prayer language called tongues, that is to help and aid your prayer life. You know, it seemed like yesterday I was in Bible school. Now many people refer to my wife and I as old timers. But you know, you see things over a period of decades, 4 or 5 decades now of serving God. And I realized when we came into the kingdom of God, there was much more prayer in tongues and in the spirit. And much more singing in tongues, worship in tongues than there is now. It's almost like the devil has hoodwinked half of the church and taken tongues out. And that's why it not only has made churches powerless, but it's even affected society. Because the church is to affect society in a positive way. That's why now we have all these Sodom and Gomorrah parades and all these marches, all this perversion and corruption getting into our government and all this stuff that's happening, the transgenderism movement and all of this. Listen, we love all people, but I'm telling you, some of these things have happened because the church removed the Holy Ghost and the power of God and the prayer language from the church. I'm not ashamed of it. When this started happening, the Lord dealt with my wife and I to move with strength in the opposite direction of what they call these, some people call them seeker awareness, seeker friendly churches, where they tone down on the work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that language called tongues. They just tone it all down in the name of winning more people to Christ, because people are turned off by that. So they reasoned, you can't speak in tongues in church because we'll have visitors and they'll be turned off by that. I beg your pardon, I was intrigued by that. I was fascinated by that. When I went to that little Pentecostal Bible study, I heard people speaking in tongues. And I was a newbie. I was new there. And I said, do you all speak in tongues? And they said, yeah. Do you? I went one by one. There was about 15 people in there. Do you speak in tongues? Yes, I do. Can I hear you? Can you speak in tongues? Yes. All of them. I made all of them speak in tongues. And every one of them's prayer language was different. When they spoke in tongues, it was like, I felt like this electricity. You know what I mean, Pastor Joe? It was like, man, I can't do that. That's electric. That's God. I feel the power of God coming out of these people when they speak in tongues. So I was actually intrigued by it. And so I became hungry and thirsty for it. See, you're not going to receive the Holy Ghost if you're not hungry and thirsty for him. Well, they put me in the middle of the room, Pentecostal style. All of the people there laid hands on me. They were shouting all kinds of instructions. One guy was saying, turn loose, turn loose. Another guy was saying, hang on, hang on. Somebody else was saying, say hallelujah, hallelujah. Say praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's it, brother, that's it, brother. You got it, you got it. And I felt like, what did I get? I felt like I didn't get nothing. But I spoke a few syllables, but I was so disappointed. I went home like, Lord, is that all there is? The power, now I have the power. Now I can be a real witness for Christ. I don't feel that I got anything. So I went to the elder, the main elder of the Bible study, and I said, you know what, Brother David, I said, I really am discouraged. I only spoke a few syllables. I didn't feel God. I didn't feel anything. You know what he said? He said, don't bother about that. Just keep yielding. Just keep yielding to the Holy Ghost. Just keep speaking those few syllables. You know what? I did what he said. And about a month later, I was sitting in the back of a meeting like this, maybe half the people. I was sitting in the back listening to a preacher who wasn't even preaching good doctrine. I could tell he was a preacher. He could preach, but his doctrine was wacky. And sitting in the back row, this thing welled up inside of me, and I released a whole new diversity and language of tongues until I didn't want to stop. I sat back there in the back row. And I knew, that's it. I got it. And you know what? I've been praying that way ever since. That was in 1981. Here we are 44, 45 years later. A day does not go by that I do not utilize my prayer language and pray those sweet mysteries to God. I'm convinced that my wife and I have done what we've done in ministry in the will of God because we have utilized our prayer language on a regular basis. Because you're praying out ahead. You're praying into the future. You're edifying yourself. There's so many benefits of using that prayer language. Especially when you come together in prayer. Man, you can change things. You can change situations. You can change people, circumstances. You can change cities, regions, nations. By getting into those deep places of praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. I love it. If you don't enjoy praying in tongues, either you have not received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, or you just simply do not know how to enjoy it. Amen. Bible says you do not know how to pray as you ought to pray. You don't even know how to phrase your words to present God with your petitions and your entreaties and treat God. You don't even know how to do that. But the Bible says in Romans 8:26 that the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God and he can pray through you in that language. I call it kingdom linguistics. I call it our heavenly prayer language. Man, you can be praying mysteries in all these different realms. Man, I've been taught by people that praying in tongues was the making of their life and ministry. John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, all these past great men of God, they made that statement. It has been the making of my ministry. Somebody asked Dr. Lester Sumrall, all these men have gone on to be with the Lord, but these are the men that taught me. Somebody asked Brother Sumrall, Brother Sumrall, how often do you pray in tongues, speak in tongues? And he said, when I'm not preaching. He had a way of saying things that just stuck to you, you know. And I realized, man, he's trying to tell us that he prays in tongues a lot. You know, one, he's only preached, you know, I preach for an hour or two. In other words, I pray in tongues a lot, as much as I can. And that was the making of his ministry. I'm radically crazy about this. That's why I wrote that book. And you can get one before you leave or order off our website or Amazon. Because tongues has been stolen, if I can use that word. It's been stolen from the life of the church because of the confusion and the controversy and simply poor teaching. Man, a poor teacher can just hack tongues to death where they just mix it all up. The other day on Facebook, I saw a really good preacher. I'm not going to say his name. Doesn't matter. But somebody asked him about tongues. And I said, okay, I got to stop here and listen to what he has to say because I know that he's not Pentecostal. He's not a charismatic. He's not from that camp. So I wanted to hear what he had to say. And man, when he started talking, I thought, oh my God. Now I understand what my elders used to teach me. There's no fool like an educated fool. I mean, this guy was so confused, so educated and so confused about tongues and what it's for and its different uses. And pretty much he just tore it apart. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, I hope not many people are going to watch this video. Because most people out there, they swallow anything because, again, they're not taught well. They're not taught well. If you're taught well, and I know you are, I have the same roots as your pastors do. We went to the same school. Man, if you're taught well, you have a sure foundation. Amen. People cannot shake you or move you from that place. I know that I know that I know that I'm born again. I know that I know that I know I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. I know that I know that I know the different uses of tongues and what it's for, what they're for. You can't shake me from it. You could hold a baseball bat to my head and threaten me. but I wouldn't move from it. I am fully persuaded of what the Word of God says. It is true and cannot lie. Amen. And my reasoning powers will never move me from it. No matter if the most educated PhD man stood and denied tongues, I would just sit in the back seat and just laugh. In fact, my roommate Donnie, who was my college roommate, my senior year of college, he called me. I don't know how he found me. He called me when I was a missionary in Sierra Leone. So I took his call, and I was so shocked to hear from him. He starts talking to me, you know, how you doing, small talk at first. Then he said, he had the audacity to say this. See, he'd been so brainwashed by this time. He said, you'll find out when we get to heaven that I was right about tongues and you weren't. And I was like, this is 15 years later. So I just, on the phone, I went, Dola frostende, too late, Donnie, shon cambrande levon castate levon garabahasiki. It's too late for you to persuade me. I mean, how can a man be so adamant against something that the Word of God lays out pretty perfectly? I don't know, but it seems like the more educated, and I'm not against education. Please understand me. Some of you are educated. That's good. I am against unsanctified education. Amen. Sanctify it with the Word of God. Education's good. You can learn a lot going to school, getting bachelor's, master's, PhD, whatever. But for God's sake, sanctify your education against the Word of God. Amen. See, I've got friends, people our age, their kids went to get a degree in college. Some of them got degrees in psychology. And I'm telling you the truth, I love these people, but they're messed up today. Because they mix psychology with the spirit, the things of the spirit. Psychology is ministering to the mind. It's the soul. It's your emotions. The things of the spirit are totally different. You know, one of these days I want to teach a whole class called not psychology, not physiology, not biology, but spiritology. Talk about the human spirit and the Holy Spirit and how we are all spirits and we can all cultivate and develop our spirits to such a place, to such a degree that we become spiritual giants walking on this earth, living from the inside out. You get that through the Word and prayer. Much prayer in the Holy Ghost. It will open up a door to revelation. You'll understand the things of God better than you ever have when you utilize your prayer language. Try praying in tongues for about an hour, then open your Bible. See what happens. It's like the words jump out of the pages. It's like it's fresh. It's fresh. That's how to study. That's how to read. Read it when you're filled up and you've been spending some time in prayer. And I learned that some of these forefathers, I call them forefathers of mine, I still admire them so much because they found places in God that I have yet to find. I'm still going. I'm moving forward. I'm progressing. I'm making progress, thank God. But some of these men, I'll quote you a couple. One of them said this, sometimes I get so far out in the spirit in prayer that I'm afraid I won't come back. First time I heard it, I was like, what? What's he talking about? I don't understand that. He's talking about in the realm of the spirit. He would get lost in the spirit, praying in tongues, praying in the spirit. What does that mean? When you're lost in the spirit, you're not conscious of time. You're not conscious of where you are. You just yield to the Holy Spirit, and he takes you into these places. And in fact, how many ever heard of, you probably know him, Phil Halverson. Phil and Fern Halverson, a mighty couple in the Lord. They've gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was such a prayer warrior. He went into those places. Sometimes he'd call out names, and he didn't know who the names were. One time he was praying for Kenneth Hagin's nieces. Their nicknames were Candy and Cookie. And as he was in prayer, he was like, he thought he was going crazy. He kept saying, Cookie, Candy, Cookie. Well, you can imagine, he's like, am I losing my mind? So he went to Brother Hagin and asked him about that. Like, Like, I think I'm losing it. I don't think I'm praying accurately. The other day in prayer, I was saying the names Cookie and Candy over and over again. Well, he didn't know they were names. He just thought it was a candy and a cookie. And Brother Hagin started laughing and said, well, those are my nieces, my two nieces. That's their nicknames. So he realized he was praying for them. See, there's another level, another realm. I call it an upper echelon of your prayer language where you start ministering in tongues, praying in tongues. It becomes more diverse. It becomes deeper. You feel like you're praying into all these dialects. I have a good friend of mine that's also an old timer. He said that one day God took him up in a vision and he was over all these nations. And he said he was praying in a tongue of each of those nations. His tongue kept switching. His tongue kept moving, changing. And then the Lord showed him 18 nations. You're praying in the dialect and the language of each of those nations. Imagine what kind of work he was doing in the Spirit. See, these are the things that are out there, accessible, available to any one of us who will consecrate their lives to that kind of prayer and learning to cultivate it. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. But you can get there. He's no more, Brother Halverson is no more special than any of us. He was just consecrated and yielded, and he went as far as he could. Well, you know what? One day in a service, they called him up. His pastors called him up to pray because they always called Brother Halverson to pray. One time in our Bible school back then, Brother Hagin called him up in a student session to pray. He came up. As soon as he opened his mouth, heaven fell in that place. Every student hit the carpet. Every student started groaning and travailing and praying in tongues because that man carried a spirit of prayer. But this one time at the end of his life, they called him up to the platform and he began to pray this way and he died. He left his body and didn't come back. When they realized his body was so still up there, they ran toward him and realized he's gone. Here's an example. He got out too far in the spirit and never came back. Well, I don't know about you, but what a glorious way to go home. What a glorious way to go and be with the Lord. I wouldn't mind going like that. Hallelujah. Not at all. Glory to God. You see, then I understood, you know what? This is what it means. This is the best way I can explain it. When an astronaut is out there in outer space, there's a tether that connects him either to the spaceship or to the land, wherever he is, and he's floating out there. You know, it's a wonderful world where there's no gravity, you know. But if that tether gets cut or comes loose, guess what's going to happen to that astronaut? He's going to be lost forever in outer space. He can't come back. He has no ability to come back. Somebody either has to go get him, but usually they're just gone. They disappear into space. Well, in the spirit, it can be likened to that. Where you get so far out, you're not conscious of yourself. You're more conscious of God. You're more conscious of that other realm that we all belong to, that we all long for. Let me tell you something. We need to live there now before we get there. You can develop the ability to live in eternity. Because, you know, when we die and leave our bodies, guess what? We're in eternity. It's just a thin veil that separates this realm of time and space from that eternal realm. It's just a thin, you just crack it open and go there. It is cool. It's the coolest thing ever. It's what people crave. They crave the supernatural. And that doesn't mean you try to put it on, manufacture something, get weird, get flaky. Ooh, I'm in the spirit. Ooh. Ooh, Pastor, I saw a vision last night. There was a cookie and a candy, and I went to reach for it, and it disappeared. I mean, don't get weird. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't get weird with spiritual stuff. But it is real. It is the real realm. When we leave our bodies, our spirits are going into that realm. Well, guess what? Our spirits, while they're in our bodies, can commune with that realm. God made us for that world. God made us for the eternal realm. We will never be fully satisfied until we touch that realm over and over again. When I began to pray in tongues, I began to touch that realm more and more and more. Until today, it's second nature to me. I can be out in the car, going to the market, going to the bank. I'm praying in tongues under my breath, keeping my spirit active. It's a wonderful place. So anyway, is there anybody here? I lost track of time. See, I've been in the spirit. What time is it? Okay. Yeah. I know there's a bunch of you here tonight, and I'm happy for it, but there might be some of you on two levels. You may have received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, but not received the fullness of your prayer language. Maybe you sensed his presence, his power, but your tongue is tied up. It's like I was. I spoke three or four syllables and was so dissatisfied until God hit me in that back row a month later or so, and my tongue was loosed. It was almost like I had been stuck in my prayer language, my few syllables, and then the Spirit of God hit me, and then it's like my tongue became unstuck. It became loose. It became fluent. My language became fluent. I was no longer talking like a baby, mama, daddy, but and I began to flow in these ebbs and flows of tongues, and it was so enjoyable. So some of you may have received the Holy Spirit, even a prayer language, but it's not fluent. I want you to come up tonight before we leave. We're going to minister to you. And on the other hand, on the other category is maybe you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You've never been empowered for service. You've never received your prayer language, and you'd like to. You can come up on that count. So two different categories, but for the same thing. You're coming to receive a fresh touch from the Holy Ghost and your tongue to be loosed so that you can pray fluently in other tongues, because that's the will of God for all of us, to pray fluently in tongues without hesitation, without doubt and uncertainty. So in both of those counts, raise your hand if you're in one of those categories. You've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, or you have, but your prayer language is stuck. Why don't you all stand up? We're all family here. There's no shame. I mean, this is something that is so vital. I'm so thoroughly convinced that this separates many times carnal churches from spiritual churches, powerless churches from churches that have power. So those of you that raised their hands, there were several in each section. Would you make your way up to the front? And the ushers, if you want to help me, just kind of put things in order up here. Welcome to come and help. Nobody leave yet, please. We need everybody's faith up here for these precious people that are coming. Hallelujah. Is this okay, Pastor Joe? Barbara? Okay. I mean, if they want, let me ask you this, Pastor Joe, Barbara, if they want more, if they need or they want more special attention, is there a team of people or a room? Who's the guy that's the prayer person? What do you call them? Prayer warriors or prayer workers? Warriors, okay. Warrior workers, worker warriors. Wow, this is awesome. Hallelujah. So awesome. Listen, I've done this many times over the years, and it's easy, but I'm going to give you very basic instructions so you'll know what to expect, how to receive, how to submit. First of all, relax, okay? In Acts chapter 2, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In that same chapter 2, it says that the Holy Spirit, in verse 38, is a gift. And if an earthly father gives good gifts to his children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So in a moment, you're going to ask God for the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive, because really, according in God's mind, the Holy Spirit has already been given. It's up to us to receive it. Well, a gift is received, isn't it? You don't earn a gift. You don't have to go and clean your life up before you can receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have to try to make yourself worthy, more holy than you are. Obviously, it's wonderful to be holy, but this is a gift. You cannot earn it. The only requirement for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive that awesome prayer language is for you to be born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if that's not good enough, then none of us are good enough to receive the Holy Spirit. If the blood is not enough to cleanse us of all sin, then none of us have any hope. Okay? So we're going to pray together. You're going to ask God to forgive you, to cleanse you in the precious blood of Jesus. And then we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. He always comes. He'll touch you. You'll sense His presence, His peace. Some of you will sense a joy on the inside, just bubbling on the inside with faith and expectation. At that point, you start lifting your voice and praising God and speaking in tongues. It's that simple. Okay, you'll want to make sounds that are easiest to make. You know, about a year or two ago, I was in Africa traveling, and I was ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit like this. And I came across one young man. I had my hands on him. I can't lay hands on all of you, but I might, some of you, I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're just going to pray in mass for all of you, and you're going to receive right where you are. Nobody has to touch you. In the Bible, many times, nobody touched them. They just received. And this young man was struggling because he didn't receive. Everybody else received. He was one of the few that didn't receive. So he began to get discouraged, disappointed, and I was trying to encourage him. You know, listen, it's not too late. You can still receive. So I prayed with him again. He still didn't receive, and the Lord said, he showed me. I said, Lord, how can I help this young man? Ask him, when you prayed for him and laid hands on him, did he want to make sounds? Did he want to speak something? But he didn't, because he's in fear. He thinks he's going to receive another spirit. So I had to minister that to him and get him free of that fear that, hey, if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you a snake or a stone or a scorpion. He's going to give you just what you ask for. And when I asked him, did you sense something inside, like a bubbling on the inside, like you wanting to speak something out, but you held back? Yeah, I did sense that. Why did you hold back? And he said, he confessed, because I was scared. Why were you scared? Because I thought I would get a demon or something. No, I said, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. So we went, I prayed for him a third time, and he got it. See, sometimes you just have to relieve people of their misgivings and doubts and fears before they learn to relax and realize, I'm asking God for the Holy Spirit. He's going to give me the Holy Spirit. He's not going to give me a strange spirit, a demon spirit, or any other kind of spirit. So together we're going to go to God simply as little children. This is another thing that's important. It's important that I don't think you would be up here if you weren't hungry and thirsty and desired for the Holy Spirit to fill you tonight. I don't think you'd be up here. So that we deal with that right now. I mean, you have to have a hunger and a thirst and faith in your heart that what you ask for, you're going to receive. Amen? The Father delights in filling His children with His Spirit. So I want you to just raise your right hand to heaven. That's where the help comes from. And say this, say, Heavenly Father, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead. I believe that He is the Son of God, that He is Lord of all. And I confess Him tonight as my Lord and Savior. I am born again. I am a new creation, and I thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins. Now cleanse me thoroughly in the blood of Jesus. of every sin of omission and commission. Every thought, every word, every motive, every deed that's contrary to the Word of God. Forgive me of it and cleanse me from it in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I'm coming for the Holy Ghost. I realize that I have the Holy Ghost in a measure. But I need a fuller measure. I need to be empowered for service. So, Father, I'm asking that you baptize me with the Holy Spirit this night. When I am filled with the Spirit, I am expecting to speak in a brand new language, a brand new tongue. And so I want to thank you for it in advance. Now lift the other hand to heaven. Lift both hands to heaven. I'm going to pray right now. You just receive. You begin to move your mouth. You begin to speak in tongues as soon as I finish praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit come now and touch every life, every heart. Holy Spirit, come and fill everyone with your power and your language right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive all over this altar. Receive the Holy Ghost. Begin to speak in other tongues. Receive the Holy Ghost. You're one step away. Receive, 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 receive. Secabande galagora. That's it. Secabande galagora. Secabande lera galagora. Man, there's a lot of faith here. There's a lot of hunger here. Just open your mouth and let it go. Open your mouth and let it go in the name of Jesus. Engros tengrodila. Engros tengodila. Ele malakasa kalamana. Don't think. Don't think. You don't receive it with your mind. You receive it with your spirit. You don't receive it with mental activity. You receive with spiritual activity. The hunger, the desire, the longing of your heart to be filled and to pray in that heavenly language. Right now, pray. Right now, speak in Jesus' name. He's here. He is here. He doesn't come like thunder and lightning. He comes with peace. He comes with joy. He comes with that presence. Begin to thank God and then go off into tongues. Because the Bible says when you speak in tongues, you give God thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Begin to thank Him for the Holy Spirit right now. Begin to thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just say that. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. And He will come again. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. By faith I receive. By faith I receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. You said, come unto me and drink. You can't drink with your mouth closed. You ever think about that? You drink with your mouth open. Hanga sengrodare. Alla morostam bragale. Ora macalibro stalamande. Checkadon, checkadon, de gila rabama. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I'm not trying to hype God up. God doesn't need to be hyped up. He's here. He's here. Oh, yeah, I hear a lot of you praying in a new language. That's all it takes. You're one step away. Sometimes you got to pray by faith. Sometimes you got to open your mouth by faith and receive the Holy Spirit. Dele castute, mongrai, dasten grondai. Oh my God, it's a free flowing river. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living. In the congregation, all of you, Go ahead and pray in tongues. It will aid these that are up here. It will supercharge the atmosphere. Everyone that's received their prayer language, begin to pray now in other tongues. Oh, Liande Castita, let's charge this place with prayer right now in the spirit. Oh, Leon, see, some of you aren't used to this. Paul said, I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. I will, in other words, it was under his control. He prayed in the spirit in tongues anytime he wanted to. Ola stikram bandai. Ola stikram bandai. Yes, 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 yes. You can pray loudly. You can pray softly. It's not the amount of noise you make. It's simply that you do speak. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the honor of ministering that sacred baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Okay, everybody just quiet now. I want to show you something. Because see, I was under this false belief that I prayed in tongues when I was prayed for, but then I couldn't pray anymore. That's not true. Once you receive the initial prayer language, you can pray anytime you want. So we're going to lead you back into praying in tongues. Because, I mean, I can go over here, start talking out of my mind, like I'm talking to you right now. I'm forming words in my mind and talking to you in English. But I could step over here to a different channel and start praying out of my spirit. No longer out of my mind. See, that's coming from a different channel. It's coming from my spirit. It's coming from my innermost being. Jesus said, out of your belly. That's where your spirit is, out of your belly, from the inside, you pray in tongues. And that's all some of you are missing is just you're on this channel, you're in the mental realm, and it's just a matter of just switching over into the spirit realm and praying out of here. What am I going to say? That's the supernatural part of it. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, it's a cooperation between God and man. You speak, but the Holy Ghost, one translation says, he enabled them. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, as the Spirit gave them freedom to speak. That's all it is. You're cooperating with God. He doesn't do everything. You don't do everything. It's not a fleshly thing. It's a spiritual thing. I mean, I was praying for one man, one boy one time. He was a young boy, and he was like this. He said, I'm not gonna receive this. Only God can do it. I'm not gonna get in the flesh. Only God can do it. And he refused to open his mouth. So guess what? You know what? He never spoke in tongues. Why? Because he was being stubborn. He didn't realize God pours his spirit on all flesh. All flesh means us. And he was afraid he was gonna get in the flesh and manufacture something. Well, you know, you can start out that way, but eventually you'll get over there in the spirit where God's giving you utterance. The Holy Spirit is giving you utterance and enabling you. Now, I've had the opposite happen where, you know, people said, just open your mouth and God will fill it. And I've had guys in a prayer line like this. They're waiting like for God to stick a radio in his mouth and the radio's going to come out blurting in tongues. See, it's kind of a balance between those two. You do the speaking, but he enables you and gives you the freedom and the utterance to speak. Amen. So we're going to do this again to show you that you control it. Paul said, I will pray with my spirit. I will pray with my understanding also. I will. Emphasis on I will. Simple. So you're going to do it. Say this with me. I will. Pray in the spirit. And I will. Pray with my understanding also. So right now, I will pray with my spirit. Now go ahead and pray with your spirit. Dosh. Whoa, yes, akotena. What do I say? It's not up to you to make up words that you say. That's the supernatural part of it. God speaks through you. El kestende grodanda balandra balandra kalastinde debron. Ol kendide joja livras dande evokonamaki. Ol manira brakansta. You don't even have to be loud like me. I'm loud because I have a microphone. Ende kronstanda katishe alabatase. Ora batakone mandis. Mandisbale. Mandisbale. Andele kenshonte. Ele fusukalaste. Alabatakune neneste tendra. Ambranca la fracante. Abela cruz, te cross, te cross, te liver, duji. Duji libele ken stand, they can stand, they can end stand, they can end. I can hear many of you can stand, they can again. Don't speak in English. You're not talking English, Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, or any other language. I want you all to be speaking in tongues. You'll grieve the Holy Spirit if you try to speak in any other language. Right now, it's time for you to utilize and yield to your heavenly language. Everybody's got one. Yours is not going to sound like mine. I've been doing this for 45 years. Your prayer language is not going to sound like mine. You're just starting. This is the beginning for you. God doesn't require your prayer language to sound like mine. You have your own language. You have your own syllables that the Holy Ghost enables you to speak in. Onstem bronde. Everybody in the congregation, lift your hands and thank the Lord for what's happened here tonight. You haven't seen it, but this is the beginning. You're called New Beginnings Church. Well, this is a new beginning for many of these precious people. A new beginning in life in the Spirit. A new beginning in prayer in the Spirit. A new beginning in being a more powerful witness for Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Joe, you want to say anything to them or give them any further direction? I don't know if you can send some of these to the prayer room. I don't know what to do with all these people. I'm used to doing this in an open field.
Hallelujah. I've received that word that you just spoke. I don't know if people realize how prophetic that was. This is a new beginning. Listen. It's a new beginning for new beginnings. Amen. And if this is your church, if this is part of your church, I mean, if you're part of this church, then have an expectation that God's going to cause you to flow in this. Okay? Because this is the direction. This is what... Listen, we're in an area of darkness. You know that. You're born and raised here. Many of you know what I'm talking about. There's so much darkness, so much addiction, so much sin, so much corruption, so much everything. The lost are waiting for somebody to come that's got the power of God on their lives to set them free. Amen? This is a tool, it's a weapon, it's the equipment, it is what God desired for the church from day one that we are supposed to operate, because you are a spirit being. Amen. You have a soul and they live in a body, okay? Our body gets us around, and with our body we touch this natural realm. But the natural part of us can't transform people's lives. But the Spirit of God on the inside of us, when we will just hook up with Him and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, and He builds us up, as it says in Jude, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's like stirring up the energy. It's like somebody years ago, one of the old timers years ago, likened it to like a dynamo, like a generator. And that's when you're praying in the Spirit, you're building that up and building it up so that God knows you're going to come in contact with somebody that needs the genuine raw power of God to just jerk them out of whatever the garbage they're in their lives and bring them into this new faith, this new life, into the new birth. Amen. So, in the name of Jesus, I thank God for every single one of you. I thank God for everyone in this room. I thank God that some of you are going to, this is going to happen to you in the night times when you're all by yourself, when there's no distractions. Bam, it's going to rise up from the inside. Okay, now don't be looking for something from the outside. Look from here. Okay, the Holy Ghost is already, so it's the difference between the Holy, we just got done teaching this. The Holy Ghost on the inside and then the Holy Ghost upon us, the Holy Ghost within us and the Holy Ghost upon us. Okay, so don't see it as something coming from outside. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. You now want to step into allowing Him to come from the inside and bam, come right back up on top. Amen? Amen. continue this. Some of you got maybe one little word, one little syllable. Some of you just ran with it. Okay, but continue it. Those of you that knew you should have come up, but you didn't, that's okay. God knows he loves you. He'll still meet you at that place. Listen, this is like anything else. You receive everything from God by faith. You received your salvation by faith. You received provision by faith. You received your healing by faith. And you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. Amen. And listen to me. You wouldn't want it any other way. You wouldn't want it any way. This is to be a very personal experience for you to have between you and your Father in heaven. Jesus is the baptizer. He's gone before us and made the way so that you now, if you are born again, you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, he qualified you now to take this next step. Okay, don't stop halfway there. Amen? Continue in this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Go back to your seats just for a couple of minutes. Raina, are you coming up? Where are you? Oh, there you are.
Amen. Amen. How many have been blessed tonight? Amen. Amen. Well, as everyone goes back to their seats, we do want to provide an opportunity to sow into this amazing ministry that Bert Farias and his wife Carolyn have. They, as they mentioned, they're missionaries. They go throughout the world, spreading the gospel, spreading the path in. Bringing the revelation and the knowledge of the power of God that's inside of us through the Holy Spirit, amen. And so we may not be able to travel to all these amazing places, but we can plant seeds. Amen. And so if you have it in your heart to sow into this amazing ministry, you can fill out an offering envelope in the seat pocket in front of you. You can go online as well to our newbeginningsnj.org/give. There is on the drop down, you'll see the title for guest speaker. You can give that way as well. So let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, I thank you. We come to you in the name of your son, Jesus, and we're just thankful, God. We're thankful, Lord God, just for deeper revelation and a knowledge of you, God. We thank you for this awesome ministry. We thank you for the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power. We thank you for the work you're doing in us. Lord, thank you that you equipped us, Lord God, to do what you've called us to do in reaching those, Lord God. We can't do it by ourselves. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, I thank you, God, for every person who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that it would just overflow in the nighttime hours, Lord God, that it would just pour out day and night, Lord God, and that we will continue to be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you can receive the offering for our guest speaker. Just a few quick reminders. We again, please register for our Easter services that will be taking place next week. Also, we remember to stop by the table. There's tons of books, and I'm excited to see. There's so much wisdom that has been imparted in Bert and his wife, and so I'm just so excited to see in the books, what God has imparted in them. And so make sure you stop by that table as well. Also, make sure you invite someone if they to encourage them to come on out to our campuses. So our Brick, our Bayville campus and our Wall campus will actually have tonight's service. They will be seeing a video of tonight's service. So be praying also for the other services over the weekend. But again, and for those who would like to receive prayer, at the end of service, we want to take a moment. If you did not come up for prayer, we have our awesome prayer workers/warriors ready for you. We would love to pray with you. If you are in need of any materials or you receive Jesus for the first time, we also have Bibles that we would love to place in your hand. Amen. We don't want you to go out these doors and not be equipped with the Word of God. All right. Well, God bless you. We pray that you have an awesome night, and we'll see you actually midweek service, our Cedar service. Yes, that's going to be exciting. So make sure you come on out to that as well. God bless you. Have a great night.